10. That's where we're going to find our text tonight. Thankful that you're here, and I want to pray for those that aren't here. Please, again, remember to pray for those guys that are up at Tulsa doing evangelism tonight. I'm thankful to have men and women and boys and girls in our church who have a heart for evangelism. Amen. I think all of us ought to have a desire to see other people saved. And one of the reasons that we have a desire to see others saved is because we remember being saved. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about always remembering. It's important to remember. Amen. We understand that. Amen. It's important when you get up at your house and you go into another room to remember what you went in there for. It's important if you wear glasses to know where they are. I remember when my mom would go around the house looking for her glasses. She would get so frustrated trying to find them. And they were usually right here, right here. But I can't say anything because I've walked around on the phone saying, hang on, I got to find my phone before I leave. Remembering is important. Amen. But remembering the things we're going to talk about tonight are eternally important. Amen. So let's pray that God will bless as we look into the Word. Brother Mike, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Amen. Please be seated. The message tonight is about always remembering. You might notice that he says that repeatedly in our text. That you put, I'm going to put you always in remembrance, he says in verse 12. And he says, after I'm dead, I want you to keep these things always in remembrance. So we want to always remember. Why? Well, first of all, because your calling and election is being made sure. Look at verse 10. We covered this before. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. We understand that spiritual growth confirms our faith and secures our fruitfulness. We will not fall from fruitfulness if we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and all the things we studied about. If you continue to grow in your faith, grow in your walk with Jesus, then you're going to be fruitful in your Christian life. And you ought to remember all the things that Christ has done for you. You ought to remember who he is and what he's done for you, because your calling and election is being made sure. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I want you to get it. We see it over and over. Who saved you? Who put eternal life in you? God did through Christ, right? He put it in you, but you're supposed to work it out. He doesn't say work for it. He says work it out. So God put salvation in you by faith in Jesus. You work it out because it's God who's working in you. So who does it, you or him? And the answer is yes, both. And amen. And so because your calling and election is being made sure, you ought to remember who God is and what he's done for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, again, and back if you back up to verse 8, 2 Peter 1, 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you add to your faith, the more you grow in your spiritual life, the more you're going to know Jesus, and the more you're going to bear fruit for Jesus. He said in John chapter 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches, and when we abide in him, we can bear much fruit, and then we will be his disciples. So we bear much fruit to the glory of God. So your calling and election is being made sure, so remember. Number two, always remember, because you can abundantly enter into the everlasting kingdom of Christ. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, by the skin of his teeth? I don't know what that means. My teeth don't have skin on them. Now, sometimes in the morning, it feels like there's fur on them, but there's no skin. You guys don't get up in the morning and brush the fur off your teeth? No, you always have lovely breath all the time. There's no skin on your teeth. So what's it saying? It's the Bible says it like this. One of these days, you're going to kneel before King Jesus. You're going to give an account for your life. And we understand that there's a foundation. There's no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. But then after the foundation is laid, you put your faith in Jesus, that begins your spiritual life. You need to be careful how you build your spiritual life. And if you build with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up at the judgment. You're going to be judged, yet so as by fire. And then you can build with precious things that will not burn up. Buddy, nod your head if you have any idea what I'm talking about. Okay, so there's this judgment coming. God's going to judge us by everything we did in our life, whether good or evil. And the good that we do for Jesus is going to remain. What we do that's not in faith and not for him is going to be burned up. And he says, yet you'll be saved. Saved. You're still saved, yet so as by fire. And it almost gives that idea of by the skin of your teeth. It doesn't mean you're not going to make it in. It just means that's it. There's no rewards to lay at the feet of Jesus because you didn't live for Jesus after you trusted in him. You didn't live out the salvation that he freely gave you. And I'm just trying to tell you tonight that God wants us to enter abundantly into his kingdom. Amen. I told you last time that Jesus gave those parables of the talents. You guys remember that? Amen. The one who gave, the master gave five talents to when he went away, when he came back and there was a reckoning. Do you remember what the one who had the five did? He gained five others beside them. And five plus five is, good job, kids. And the other guy who got two talents, he gained two others beside them. And two plus two is, come on, people, play along. Listen, come on. I went to school in Sequoia County, too. We can do this. Two plus two is, okay, good job. But the guy who only had one, do you remember what he did with it? He hid it. He hid it because he was afraid of his master. He hid it because he was a wicked and unprofitable servant. But when the master came and done a reckoning, remember the one who had five, he gained five others, and the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And I told you guys last time that each and every one of you can hear that in the day of Christ. Amen. You can. Right. You can. Not only can you, but you should. You should be faithful with what God's given you. You should use the time and talents and treasures that God's given you for his glory. And when you do that, he's going to say, well done. Amen. Don't bury what God's given you and hide it away. Use it for his glory, and he's going to reward you in the end. And that, what's awesome about that, guys, is when he rewards you, you know what? It all goes back to him for his glory. Amen. So it's always about him. Okay? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. We've alluded to this a few times. I can't remember if we've read it the last few weeks, but this is, so we're in 2 Peter. This is kind of like Peter's last will. It's his last testimony. It's his last letter. And 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. It's his last thing that he says. And he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Do you guys know what that means? What's about to happen to the Apostle Paul? He's going to die. He's not getting on a train and going somewhere. He's not waiting for his flight to leave. When he talks about his departure, he's talking about flying away, but Amen. To heaven. Amen. Okay, he's about to die, and he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And Paul, we look at the life of Paul, and we're like, yeah, he deserves crowns. I mean, look at all that the guy endured for the cause of Christ. Of course, he's going to get crowns. But you know what he says? Anybody who loves the return of Jesus can get those crowns too. Amen. How many of you are longing to see Jesus? You're longing for his appearing. You're looking for and hastening unto that day. You want to see Jesus. There's crowns for that. You can enter abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of Christ. That's what he's telling us. So not only do you just get into heaven, you can enter abundantly for his glory and for his praise. Verse 11 in our text, 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is, if you're growing in your faith, if you're maturing and you're growing and you're adding to your faith, what happens is you're going to enter into glory abundantly with rewards that you get to lay at the feet of Jesus. It's all about him. All about him. Always remember, because your calling and election is being made sure. Always remember, because you can abundantly enter into the everlasting kingdom of Christ. Number three, always remember, because you already know these things. You can't remember what you don't know. But that's what he says. He says in verse 12, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. I want to remind you, even though you already know them. Now, you might think that that's tedious for somebody to remind you about what you already know, but how many of us could testify tonight, I forget a lot of stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Most of you know we homeschool, and I love homeschooling, and it's been great for our family, but I dread some days when Melissa's like, hey, I'm going to need you to help one of the kids with their school tomorrow, and I'm like, I don't remember algebra. Like, yeah, I had chemistry 30 years ago. I don't remember, right? There's things that you learn you don't remember. There's things that I learned yesterday that I forgot today. Sometimes I have to learn the same lesson over and over and over again. But there's something about us when we come to church, we have a hard time remembering the things that we already know. Somebody said this, forgotten truth is soon disobeyed truth. Forgotten truth is soon disobeyed truth. Matthew Henry said, good men know much of the truth, but the best need reminding, lest they forget what they know or fail to practice it. It's always important not only to know the truth, but to remember the truth. I think we spend a lot of time trying to learn new things. We're always wanting something new, trying to find something new, something deeper, when what we really ought to do is just obey what we already know. Because you already know these things, you need to learn them. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Amen. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I love it. Paul writes to him and says, listen, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you doesn't bother me at all. For you, it's safe. In other words, it's good for me to remind you of the stuff you already know. Amen. It's good to be reminded. Amen. It's good to be reminded of the truths that God has shown us. And we need to be reminded of the danger, remember? He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Although it's not a bad idea to be afraid, beware of real dogs. Amen. That's good practice. Amen. Anybody ever read meters before? Any meter readers? Yeah, you know about them dogs then, don't you? We met a mail carrier. What was that lady in Sykes and Chihuahua? She got bit 14 times or something. Wasn't that right? 14 times the mail carrier in Sykeston had been bitten by a dog. I'm like, I would do something different. I don't know what I would do something different. He's not talking about literal dogs. He's talking about dangerous teachers. Amen. He's not about false teachers. He's about talking about spiritually dangerous stuff, and you need to be reminded of the stuff you already know so that you'll look out for the danger. Because we're not those people. We've been changed. We worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh, so we need to remember. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I ought to pay attention. I ought to be really careful to take heed, to pay attention, to do the things that I've already heard so that I don't let them go. Got to hold on to that truth. So I got to remember it. Verse 2, for the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, I want you to get this. God had severe judgment on the angels. Is that true? Yeah, they left their first estate. They made a choice. They left heaven. They left God, and they were cast out, and they are doomed to everlasting fire in the lake of fire. That is the judgment that God has meted out to them. Now, I don't understand everything there is about angels and demons, but I do know this. Jesus Christ died for man, not for angels. And if Jesus died for us, how much more severely should we fear God when he died for us? If we neglect so great salvation, what's that mean? If you reject the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died for you and rose again, that he gave his life, he poured out his blood for you, and you neglect that, how much worse is it going to be for us who Christ died for than for the angels? No, we need to remember what God has already shown us. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard so that we don't let them slip. Matthew Henry also said, the dullness of our memory calls for frequency of reminders. Amen. The dullness of our memory calls us to the frequency of reminders. And it seems to me that in my time in ministry, there have been some times I've noticed in people that they kind of get tired of the same old thing at church. I've had some people say some things over the years that they're kind of worn out by hearing about the gospel again. Some of you are looking at me like you don't believe me, but I'm telling you, I've seen it and I've heard it. People are like, man, all he ever does is talk about the gospel. Like they're put out by that. It seems to me that people who get tired of hearing the old story, people who get tired of hearing the gospel time and again, being reminded of who God is and what he's done for them, that boredom with the word of God often comes right before a departure from God and his word. You see, I don't think people are actually getting bored with it. I don't think the problem is that the truth is actually boring. I think that somebody doesn't want to be reminded of the truth because they're not walking in the truth. I don't want to be reminded of what Jesus has done for me. If I'm trying to live a life, if I'm trying to go back to my old life, I'm trying to live in sin, I don't want to be reminded of the price that Jesus paid for me. That's just going to make me feel really bad about the way I'm living my life. So I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm tired of listening to that preacher. All he ever does is talk about the gospel. It's church. Like, everybody ought to already know the gospel. If that's your attitude, there's something severely wrong with you tonight. Amen. If you get tired of hearing that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, there's something desperately wrong with your heart. Amen. Amen. I'll never get tired of hearing about his great love for me. Amen. Amen. God help me that I would never get tired of hearing about him. Amen. You already know it, but you need to be reminded of it. Because you already know these things, you need to be reminded. So always remember, because your calling and election is being made sure, because you can abundantly enter into the everlasting kingdom, because you already know these things. And number four, because you have been established in the present truth. You have been established in the present truth. And he says in verse 12, I want to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. In other words, it's kind of worded different, but what he's saying is you are in the condition of being established in the present truth. You're in it now. When did you get established in the truth? Well, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you put your faith in him, you were established in the truth. And the truth that Jesus gives you is not some far-off truth. It is a present truth. We have to be established in the truth today. We can't be moved around by cultural whims or swayed by unbiblical traditions. The present truth is the truth that God has given to us here and now, and it must be lived out here and now. Amen. The present truth is the living reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Just stop right there for a second. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? How'd that happen? Well, we all got different stories. Somebody invited you to church and you heard the gospel here. Somebody came and knocked on your door and gave you a gospel tract. You were raised up in the church. I mean, your mom carried you to church in the womb, and then you got born and you've been here ever since. It's all different. We all have a different story, but the story comes, it's all the same, because at some point you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard it and you believed it. Amen. And because you heard it and believed it, then you called on the name of the Lord and he forgave you and he saved you, and you received Christ Jesus the Lord because you heard and believed the gospel. Amen. Is that true? Amen. Everybody still with me? I'm just waiting. Somebody in there will be like, "No, that's not what happened to me." Well, then something's wrong, because the Bible's clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," but they cannot call on him if they don't believe in him, and they can't believe in him if they have not heard of him. And you can't hear of him unless somebody preaches. And how can anybody preach unless they're sent? But we have been sent. And I thank God that when somebody was sent in my time, that they did. They went and they preached the gospel. Amen. And somebody out there ought to be thankful for you. Amen. Because God sent you and you went. Amen. So what happened? You received Christ Jesus the Lord. You heard and you believed. So walk in him. What does that mean? In the same way that you received him, walk in him. Amen. What does that mean? Well, it means you need to hear him. And you need to believe him. And you need to obey him. Amen. That's how you received him. You heard the gospel, you believed the gospel, and you obeyed the gospel. Amen. Now you need to hear Jesus, and you need to believe Jesus, and you need to obey Jesus. Right. You guys remember when the paralytic was healed? He's carrying his bed. And they're like, "What are you doing carrying your bed? It's the Sabbath day." And he says, "The same one that healed me, he said to take up my bed and walk." The one who healed me said to get up and take up my bed and walk, so I'm just doing what he said. Amen. That's a beautiful picture of the way we ought to live our Christian life. The one who saved me, I'm just trying to do what he said to do. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, I'm just going to try to live my life doing what Jesus says to do. Amen. Because you've been established in the present truth. You received Christ, so you walk in him. Look at verse 7 here in Colossians 2. He says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." I love some of these passages we've looked at tonight, Colossians and Philippians. There's so many rich truths in very short passages. But just get this, rooted and built up in Jesus. What does that mean? That I'm putting my roots down in him. Amen. And I'm growing up in him. Amen. So I dig deep into the word of God and I grow out of it. Amen. I dig deep into faith. I keep believing and I grow out of that faith. Amen. That's the whole point of what we've been studying about. And I'm establishing the faith the way I've been taught, and I'm abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, we started tonight with gratefuls, and I just wonder, is anybody still thankful? Are we thankful for who he is and what he's done? Are we thankful for what he is doing and what he's going to do? And then verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And if you think that you could, if you think you're immune to this, you better beware. Amen. The world is trying to destroy you, ruin you, cause you to rot. Amen. And they're doing it through philosophy and lies. Amen. And the tradition of men. And after the rudiments, the rudimentary things, the things that they would say are just basically, everybody knows that. Everybody knows there's no God. Everybody knows evolution's true. Like, everybody knows that religion's just for the weak-minded. It's just a crutch for weak people. That's the rudiments of the world. Amen. And he says, don't be deceived by that nonsense. As a matter of fact, don't be led astray by anything. Amen. But be rooted in Christ. Be taken away by anything, but be rooted in Christ. So because you've been established in the present truth, I thank God for the truth. Amen. I meet people all the time who have no idea what truth is. They're like Pilate when he said to Jesus, what is truth? There's so many people around us who have no idea what truth is, and they're on YouTube watching videos all the time, and they are so led astray and deceived. They watch TikTok videos all the time. They're so led away and deceived. They have teachers in school who are teaching them everything contrary to the Word of God, and they're confused. Amen. And then you go to college, you go to university, and you have professors who are way smarter, you would think, than any teacher you've ever had before. And then they tell you that everything you learned in high school was nonsense. And then they teach you a whole new set of lies to be confused by. Amen. I'm just telling you what I experienced. All along the way, the rudiments of the world trying to turn you away from the truth. Amen. Amen. But then I open my Bible. And I read the truth. Amen. And it refreshes my soul. Right. You guys ever do that?
Amen.
Just turn off the TV. Put down the doom scrolling of social media. Like, just get away from all of the other media and just open your Bible.
Amen.
And just breathe in the truth. It's so refreshing.
Right.
I think that there's a revival happening in America today. I think that there are a lot of people turning to Jesus. I think that there's still a lot of confusion. I think there's still a lot of false teachers. And I think a lot of false teachers and churches are taking great advantage of the interest in the things of God that are happening. So it's so vital for us to stand up for the truth. But let me just say this. People are starving for the truth. People have been in the darkness for so long, they are longing for the light. And we have great opportunity, because we've been established in the present truth, to share that truth with others. Number 5, always remember, because we need to be stirred up. We need to be stirred up. Look at our text, back in our text, in verse 13. Peter says, yea. Yes, I think it meet. I think it's right and proper and good, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Tabernacle is another word. We would say tent today. But what he's talking about is not a physical dwelling, is like a house, but he's talking about his body. In the Bible, in the New Testament, likens your body to a tent. Okay, we got to go on the Men and Boys camp out. Some of us slept in tents. I don't want to stay in a tent forever, Brother Ryan. Like, it's okay for a couple of nights. I don't want to live there forever. Anybody with me? Like, I was glad to put off that tent and go back into my house. Right? Anybody? Okay. Maybe some of you guys love it. I want to live in the tent all the rest of my life. That's you. Good for you. I'm going to tell you this. I was glad to get out of the tent and get into a little bit more of a permanent structure. Okay? It's a terrible analogy as far as my tent to my house, but just think about this. One of these days, I'm going to put off this body, and I'm going to enter into a glorified body that Jesus has prepared for me,
Amen.
One that's never been touched by sin.
Amen.
How awesome is that? So he says, I'm about to get rid of this tabernacle, but as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, Brother Frank said that he's here on this earth just to give me a hard time, cause me trouble. Amen? Really, it's Vicky, but he didn't want to tell y'all that. It's my joy as your pastor that as long as I live to stir you up by putting you to remembrance. This word stir up means to cause to be fully awake. And boy, was there ever a job for a pastor than to keep people awake. It means to arouse from sleep or inactivity. And basically what Peter's saying is, I want to wake you up to spiritual realities as long as I'm alive. I want to wake you up to the reality that God has done amazing things for you and God has amazing things in store for you. But you got to remember so that you'll wake up and live out your Christian life today. Because I promise you this, there have been many believers who have come to the end of their life. They know that their time is at an end and they are about to close their eyes in death and wake up in the presence of Jesus. And I promise you, without fail, they wish they didn't had done more for Jesus. Amen. Nobody, no Christian has ever come to the end of their life and thought, man, I really did too much for God. Nobody. But I promise you, many have not had the confidence that Paul and said, I have finished my course and I have run a good race and I have fought a good fight. But you can. And I know immediately some of you are like, yeah, man, I've really wasted my life. And you look back over the years and wish you'd have done more. And listen to me. None of us can change yesterday. Amen. Forget the things that are behind and reach forward to the things that are before. Don't you dare let the devil hold you back. Amen. By the mistakes of yesterday. Jesus will take care of that. If you need to repent, repent. Ask him to forgive you for your failures of the past. You ought to do that, and that's good. But when you do, then it's done. And you don't let that hold you back anymore. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look forward. Brothers and sisters, you have today. Amen. So wake up and do what you can for Jesus today. And if he gives you tomorrow, you know what you need to do? Wake up and do what you can for Jesus that day. And every day until he calls us home or comes again. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And I love these. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Is this true? Was it true when Paul wrote it? Nearly 2,000 years ago. I've got some friends who'll make fun of us for this because I still think it's nearer than when we believed. It was true the day Paul wrote it, and it's still true today. Our salvation, the day of the Lord, is still near. It's still at hand. So we ought to wake up. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, Paul writes to the Romans and says, stop messing around. You don't have much time. So use the time you have to live for Jesus. So always remember, because your calling and election is being made sure, because you can abundantly enter into the everlasting kingdom of Christ, because you already know these things, because you have been established in the present truth, because we need to be stirred up, and number six, because leaders live and die. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy and talked about the fact that he was about to die, and he challenged Timothy how to live and to help other people live for Jesus. Peter's doing the same thing. I know I'm going to die soon. Jesus has shown me how I'm going to die and that it's going to be soon. And I'm telling you, I'm going to stir you up to remember these things now while I'm alive so that you'll keep remembering after I'm gone. Amen. Amen. Leaders live and die. God raised up a man named Moses in the Old Testament to lead his people. He argued with God, and God gave him some help and his brother Aaron, and we know all about that. And after Moses died, God had raised up another young man named Joshua, who was the servant of Moses. And he led the people after Moses died. And all the people who were alive at his time in that generation served the Lord. after Joshua died, but after that generation, nobody led the people. Amen. And then you read the book of Judges. Have you ever read the book of Judges? Could you just raise your hand if you've ever read Judges? Okay? If you haven't read it, you ought to read it. Here's what happens. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Moses wasn't there to help the people stay on track. Joshua wasn't there to help the people stay on track. And when the people were left to themselves, they went all over the place. Leaders live and leaders die. I'm not in any hurry to go. I'll go when the Lord's ready, but one day I'm going to die. And I've seen too many churches follow a man instead of following Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've seen too many churches, when the pastor dies, the church falls apart. Or when God calls the pastor to another place, the church, half the flock will scatter. Listen, if you're trying to follow me, listen, I'm here to help you follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't want you to follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ, but that's it. Amen. You with me? Amen. Our diligence in walking with Jesus, our growing in spiritual maturity, our bearing fruit for his glory cannot be tied to any man. It has to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. It has to be all about our own personal life in Christ. Too many of us are playing at church. Too many of us do this out of tradition. It's just what we do as a family. We're a part of this church. This is what we do. Too many of you are just trying to kind of coast along with your mom and dad's faith or grandma and grandpa's faith. And I'm telling you, it has to be your own. It has to be that if grandpa dies, you keep following Jesus. If mom passes away, you keep following Jesus. If the pastor is dead, you keep following Jesus.
Amen.
It's about him.
Amen.
And if it's ever about anything or anyone less than him, then we are already ruined. So what do? Well, you make it about him. You make it about Jesus. I love what John Owen said. The best of men are but men at best.
Amen.
The best of men are but men at best. Let me give you one last passage and then I'll stop. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. I'll try not to be like Paul tonight and be like, finally, brethren, and then go on for two more chapters. Let's try not to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. You got me for a second. I thought that was mine. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You understand what he's saying there? The guy who plants isn't anything. The guy who waters isn't anything. But God, he's everything.
Amen.
Peter said, I'm about to die. And I'm going to keep reminding you of who God is and what he's done for you until the day I die, so that when I die, you'll keep remembering.
Amen.
Always remember. And doesn't it help you to remember? Do you often think about when you got saved?
Amen.
You often think about like where you were before you came to faith in Jesus and where you are now?
Amen.
Do you often think about just how God's worked in your life and changed and how he's taught you and how he's grown you?
Amen.
You guys ever have memories pop up on your phone? I need you to help me out, please, for crying out loud, people. Could you just raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? So this morning I got up. I open my phone like I do every day. One of the first things I do every morning is I open Facebook and I see what Brother Philip posted. True story. Before I ever get in to do my reading, I look just to see what Brother Philip posted. It's always really good. So thank you for that. But I open up my phone and every day it's got this screen. And I'm trying to get it. It won't do it now. I don't know. But when I wake up in the morning, there's always a memory. This morning when I got up, it had a memory. And the picture was Jensen. Well, Jensen, I wish Kim was here. Jensen at Vacation Bible School a few years ago. I mean, he's still the little guy, but he was super tiny then. It was a couple years ago. And I looked at that, and then I opened it up, and there were more memories. It was from another Men and Boys camp out a few years ago, Brother Mike. And I'm looking at the pictures. Mike was in some of them, Brother Brian, Brother Ryan. And I looked at you guys, and I looked at myself. It was 7 years ago, and I was like, man, we look so young. I'm not joking. I thought, man, we do not look like we did 7 years ago. 7 years have been rough on us, fellas. It was probably that camping trip that did it. Like, just being there, and then when we went home, like, I aged 7 years that one week, one night. I don't know. Look at the memories. You look at your kids and you see how they've grown. You remember. And I get it. It's nostalgic, and maybe it's even a little bit sad sometimes to watch your kids. But it is a joy to see God's blessings over the years.
Amen.
And it reminds you of the goodness of God. And that reality, that physical growth, watching our kids grow up, watching ourselves get older, that same reality translates to spiritual things, to remember. I'm just saying that you ought to look in your Bible, and it ought to be better than looking at your memories that pop up on your phone. Look at who God is and look at what he's done. And always remember so that you can keep growing in your faith.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Will you pray with me? Merciful Father, I thank you for the time here. And I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I feel like I always say more than I intend to when I start, and I just pray that you'll be gracious in that and bless. But Father, I pray that if anybody in this room or watching online has never trusted in Jesus, they can't remember your goodness because they've not experienced it, not the way a believer has. You've given grace to everybody. You send rain and sunshine on all of us. But Lord, those who have trusted, we have tasted and seen that you are good. You are our reward. You are our life and our salvation. And I pray for those who don't know you that even now they would repent, they would turn away from their sin and unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. And Father, for all of us who have believed, who are established in the present truth, that you would help us to continue to grow and to always remember your goodness every day. The enemy tries to distract us and discourage us and turn us away. The enemy tries to keep us grumbling and complaining and murmuring. But God, you call us to be thankful. So Lord, help us to remember and help us to praise you and to always be thankful. Forgive our sins and let your will be done in every life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you all take off, a couple of reminders. Some of our members.